Hey, this is Paul Thompson, former Oklahoma Sooner quarterback, 2006 Big 12 champion, and you're listening to the Locked On Sooner podcast.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. For the best tasting protein bar on the market, go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On and save 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Thank you for joining us. I am John Williams. You can find me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me, as always, is former Oklahoma Sooners offensive lineman and co-host of the Iron Horse podcast, David Walker. You can follow David on Twitter at D_Walk74. David, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, John. Excited to have a former teammate on today and a special guest with us.
Yeah, and so joining us today, we do have a very special guest, and that's former Oklahoma Sooners linebacker Rufus Alexander. He was a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Now he's the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator at Putnam City. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at CoachRufus42. Coach, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Excited to be playing football in high school with all these COVID stuff going around and being able to be around people and kind of have some kind of normalcy throughout my week. So that's always a plus. So I'm doing great.
Yeah, it is. It is very important to have some of the normalcy. And I'm sure it's huge for the kids, especially as the spring months and summer months were going along, not knowing whether or not they were going to have football. How excited were your kids when they found out they were going to get to play this fall?
Well, I mean, they were excited because we were able to get around them, I believe it was in June, the second week in June, and start doing some stuff. As far as for us, it was a new hire staff, so it took a little bit of time to get everybody, you know, together. But once it got closer and closer to the season, we got our first game got canceled. It was kind of like, uh-oh, here we go. And then we was able to play against PC North. But the kids responded well. They put in the work in the in the off season, and you know, we're getting better. We're not where we want to be as far as a team is because we didn't have a spring, we didn't have a weight workout, off season program or anything like that. So this is basically kids playing off of just what they have in the tank and push-ups and sit-ups.
Well, I know that it keeps you busy throughout the week, so we definitely appreciate you joining us here to talk Sooners football. And so let's turn the page a little bit. Oklahoma, they have kind of gotten off to a bit of a rough start to start the season. What's been your impression of the Oklahoma Sooners defense just through the first part of the season so far?
You know, you can see that they didn't have a off season. You just don't see the power that they usually have. I'd say usually have just, you know, that you saw last year. You saw kind of a little bit of growth, and you kind of saw a little bit of it this year. They've gone backwards a little bit. Old habits crept up. When they're in a long game, their endurance is not there right now. And I mean, a lot of it has to do with not having a spring, not having a traditional 2 months in the summer. I mean, David knows from playing football, after the season, you go into winter workouts, then you go into spring football. Then you have 3 weeks off, and you go right back, and you're into two of the summer workouts. So it's kind of when you have a long period of time, three or four months off, that's a different, huge difference in body change, mentality change, and you're out of your usual structure as a older player, and you're so used to being everything being so segmented in your college career. And it goes to you being off for 3 or 4 months. So what I've seen is a defense that's gotten better in certain aspects, but also having those same issues that they've had before. They're playing hard in spurts, not continuously. So what you get is some missed tackles. You get a team that wears down. You get a team that makes mistakes. And I think with Grinch, he lost a lot of the opportunities to bring in younger guys to fill in spots where guys may mess up and do bad in. But it's hard to kind of put something on this defense and saying, hey, they're improving a whole lot. You kind of just see they're playing hard and happy to be out there. For me, is what it looks like right now.
Rufus, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, when you talk about Alex Grinch's defense, it's hard to separate the terminology of speed D and the emphasis on forcing turnovers that he came in with. One of the biggest things I see that's missing, and I want to get your take on this, is it feels like we have a manufactured identity that we haven't been able to execute. So given a year and a half into, you know, his time here at Oklahoma, what do you feel like the identity is of this defense as it stands right now?
I'm with you. I feel, you know, they coined themselves Speed D, a bunch of guys that run around, move around fast, fly around, and get to the ball. If you look at them, they played better. They've improved from years prior. They look like they have a pulse whenever they're out there. But thinking about this defense and this whole making turnovers, creating turnovers, we never harped on turnovers the way he harps on turnovers. It was always known. You had a goal set for each game. You know, you wasn't always really pissed off about it. Like, he's typically ill about not getting a turnover in a game. You can have 40 missed tackles, but get a turnover and all's forgiven. That's kind of how I feel, like, you know, when you watch the defense, you know. But I was fortunate to play in a time where, you know, defensively a three and out is like a turnover.
Right.
And that's what we focus on, you know, not letting the team get two consecutive first downs, not even getting the first down. That's like a turnover. You get the ball right back to your offense. Your offense gets in the groove. They score and you come out and you get another three and out. And the other team gets desperate and they start throwing the ball and pressing and making mistakes. That's when you get turnovers really easy because they're pressing and they know they gotta throw the ball and they have to drive the ball down the field. Then you play coverage and you bring blitzes. It just seems to me right now the defense is too gimmicky. You can't slant all the time when you play against big time teams. I mean, if we're playing to beat a Clemson or Alabama, they're gonna be too good. To think that, well, I'm a slant left, slant right. They're going to understand what's happening. They're going to pass it off, and they're going to – it's like the defense – I feel like the defensive linemen are just going one way and everybody taking their momentum and sending them a certain way. So I'm with you on it seemed like they have a manufactured identity. You don't know who they are. They can't line up. I have yet to see Grinch line these guys up in a gap and say, hey, my men are better than your men. You can know where we're lining up and we're coming straight forward and going in the backfield. And that's not who they are right now.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And they definitely need to continue to work toward establishing their defense as a big part of this football team. I mean, you look at those early 2000s Sooners teams and so much of their success was predicated on playing really good defense. And it just hasn't been the case for the Oklahoma Sooners for several years now. We're going to continue to talk with Rufus Alexander here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. We're going to get his impressions on just Alex Grinch's defensive philosophy in general, and then what this team needs to do to continue to improve and build off of what has been, you know, good starts to games, but maybe not finishing football games well. And we'll come back and we'll continue to talk about that next. But first, let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? Well, College Football Saturdays offer the perfect opportunity to football and chill with the only beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Even though there are fewer teams playing on Saturdays, there are still plenty of games and other sports going on to give you the opportunity to relax and have a beer. So whether you're having a beer with friends, cooking some meat on the grill, winding down from working in the yard, or watching a full slate of college football games on a Saturday, make sure you reach for the official beer of watching any sport or any team just to have a beer. So when you want to reset from a long work day or to enjoy while taking in your favorite team, reach for the beer that's made to chill, Coors Light. You can now get Coors Light in its new look delivered straight to your door by going to get.coorslight.com. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly. I also want to take a minute to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's easy to eat and is 100% covered in chocolate. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 18 great flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry Garcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My personal favorite is the peanut butter brownie, but I recently also had the lemon almond cheesecake, and that was absolutely delicious as well. They have nut and non-nut flavors, and best of all, they're good for you. They're high in protein, and most bars have only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. Are there several bars that you'd like to try? Well, Built Bar has a couple different options for you to create variety of packs. Do you want one of each? We'll get the 18-pack variety pack. Do you want to just try 3 different flavors? We can get 6 of each. If you need it for meal replacement or to try and add fuel to your workout, Built Bar is the protein bar for you. Use the code LOCKEDON and save 20% off your next order of Built Bar by going to BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com.
And we are back here on Locked On Sooners. We have former Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Rufus Alexander, on to talk about the defense. And Rufus, one of the things I want to talk with you about is physicality. You know, you and I were teammates at Oklahoma. We came in together back in the fall of 2002. And during that season, as we came on campus, as you recall, we had a defense that was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated, which sitting here in 2020 seems almost like that's not even possible to believe. But Tommy Harris was on the cover doing the people's eyebrow, looking like The Rock. And inside that article has the entire starting defense featured in a big picture. It's got the whole 11. And what you saw was some physical specimens that we're going to bring it every Saturday. And it was the identity of our program, given that we were still throwing the football around. But the identity of the program started with the front 7 that had Lombardi guys, Butkus guys, you know, defensive backs that were going to the draft. When you look at the defense now, you know, when you mentioned it last segment, how do we get to the point where the physicality returns back to the time, you know, those early 2000s to late 2010 run?
That's a good question. You know, if you look around the Big 12 right now, everybody's kind of going back to the traditional way of playing football. You know, I mean, you look at the Iowa State, K-State, Baylor's not super high flying like they used to be. OSU's more probably your only kind of up-tempo, up and down the field kind of team. But everybody else is trying to run the ball, manage the clock, throw the ball, get third downs and different things like that. And we are playing a defense that's geared to stop this high-powered, high-octane offense that there's no longer – that's no longer there. We're behind the eight ball as far as what we're trying to accomplish defensively. Now you need a defense that can sit in there and get in there and get stops, 3 and outs. And that's being physical in a gap. It seems like right now you watch the Texas game, it's like the defense tired out, and it just took it was a matter of time before Texas's defense offense just kind of wore on them. Iowa State put them in a phone booth and just straight punched them in the face over and over and over again, and said, "I'm gonna put my big tight end on your shortest guy, and I'm gonna go down the field, and whenever you slant and move, I'm gonna just take you where your momentum goes, and we're gonna cut off of that, and we're gonna run down the field." K-State kind of took a hole and understood what they were doing when they were blitzing a lot and they were in man-to-man coverage. They took advantage of us with the running back and put them out in space and said, "All right, we're going to see how you cover." All those things happening, and it's all to mask the lack of physicality up front that we don't have. And that's what I'm in agreement with you. I don't know how you get back there if every time a guy's lining up, you slant them left, you slant them right. They do the whole move defense where a guy moved from right side to left side. I mean, any good offensive line is not going to confuse them. They're going to slow the game down, and then they're going to point out who's the mic and all that stuff. I mean, any smart offensive line is going to do that. Any smart quarterback could do that. They'll line up, see where you're going, then they'll make the play. They make the play predicated off of that. And whenever you have players like the Tommy Harris's and the Dusties and Dan Cody's and Teddy Lehman's, we would line up. You could know we're in cover 2. You could know we're in cover 3. And what we said is our dude is better than your dude. And so we're going to go in the gap and see if you can – we know if you double-team Dusty, our linebackers go free in the run game, and we know where to go and what hurts our coverage. If you don't double-team Dusty, he'll be in the backfield making a play. You can't help on Tommy, even though he's a great player, because you have Dan Cody on the outside of him, and that guy's coming off the edge. So you can't help on a Tommy Harris. So that leaves Tommy Harris one-on-one with a guard and Dan Cody one-on-one with a tackle out in space. So you have all these factors that you have the dudes and you allow the guys to be who they are. And it seems like our defense right now handcuffs those guys and don't allow those guys to be physical freaks if they are. If they are, we don't know it. And so that's what I'm waiting to see from the defense and philosophy-wise.
Right. And some of the things you're talking about is a personnel issue, right? I mean, you could say Dusty and Tommy and Dan Cody aren't walking through the door this week, right? So there's that side of it. Then there's also the philosophy side, the execution of practice and what they didn't get in the fall, maybe what they didn't get in the summer. But, you know, I go back to you as a player. You were a physical player. And quick story on that. You may not even remember this story, but I remember it because of the butt chewing I got for it. We were freshmen. It was our spring after our freshman season. And we're going at it, going hard, offense against defense in spring practice. And you had taken – somebody on the defense had taken one of our running backs to the ground a few too many times. So Kevin Wilson, the offensive coordinator, he gets the O-line in the huddle. He uses a lot of language to say, if anybody else takes one of our backs to the ground and you guys don't do something about it, I'm going to run all of you after practice. So I said, hey, that's an opportunity for me. I can handle that. I'll just go do something if it happens. And you had taken Jared Estes, who was a good friend of mine, that happened to be. You took him to the ground kind of on a tackle. So I came in, like, ear-holed you at the end of the play. Next thing I know, Venables has his hand on my face mask, cussing me out. I go back to the huddle, and Wilson doesn't say a dadgum thing. Like, hey, good job, D-Walk. Way to go in there and get it. So I got nothing. You and I were going at each other after the play, but there was an intensity and a passion and a physicality that was in practice that we were willing to bring people to the ground. We were willing to mix it up in practice. And I wonder if the byproduct of how we practice now in Norman, philosophically, is the lack of opportunity to tackle and to mix it up with each other in practice, leading to poor tackling and a lack of physicality when an Iowa State lines up and says, we're going to punch you in the mouth, do something about it.
And I mean, it's one of those things where, like, it's a cliche and it's an old saying, but iron sharpens iron. I mean, if you have a big offensive line and you want to practice physicality, well, who do you practice physicality against? Every team you're going to play is going to be physical. You have a defense that's trying to learn to be physical. Let's line them up and see what we're good at. See how we can line up and go toe-to-toe with somebody. You say we don't have good personnel, and I agree in some ways, but Isaiah Thomas is a solid defensive end. He's played well. Winfrey is a solid person in the middle, so why don't we build off of one side? And you got to figure out your D-tackle situation. Teach Benito some pass rush moves and let him get to the backfield instead of always trying to drop a guy in rushing three. Rushing three, I think, is the biggest joke ever in football. And we over there rushing three a lot of the times, like we got dudes up there that can beat one person.
Right.
And we're rushing three in game. So from what you're saying is the lack of practicing and everybody wants to save everybody from these injuries and all this and that stuff. I get it, but also you have to try to buy in and doing what the other top schools are doing. And that's why they're getting those top guys. Is Alabama not having physical practice? Is the Clemsons not having physical practice? Or are they practicing physical and saying, hey, I'm going to protect certain guys? Because, I mean, you know how it was. Nobody's going to tackle AD down to the ground. Nobody's going to go and hit Mark Clayton whenever he's running out there in a route. Everybody else, fair game. Until you become that star guy. That's how it was. That's the pecking order of football.
Right.
You don't allow the guys that you can't do without to get hit and take a lot of punishment. And the guys that can get whatever, it's game on. You have to go ahead and tackle down to the ground. And that's why the whole thing with Jared Essers, I mean, Brent Venables was like, you better tackle his ass. You better get him down to the ground. And Wilson's right over there talking about, y'all don't let us get our guys get tackled to the ground. Well, hell, who's going to listen to who? Everybody's going to listen to their coach.
Right.
And, you know, Gundy's not saying anything. Gundy's not saying anything on the back end. But Wilson's over there, you know, trying to get you guys riled up and get you guys to be more physical with us because we're out there being physical. And that's the whole iron sharpens iron part of it because we're considered a good defense offensively. How you get better is by being physical with us and matching our intensity and physicality. And it won't come as a shock when the game starts. And it seemed like it comes as a shock when the game starts for our defense.
Absolutely. And you give me a little too much credit. I was just a fat guy that didn't want to run. So that's most of what that was for me. But no, we appreciate that perspective. And we have more to come with Rufus Alexander in segment 3. We're going to talk about the linebacking unit, who he has seen that has stood out, where he sees improvement needed in the defensive mentality and where a killer instinct might be beneficial to the program going forward.
Hey, and we are still here with Rufus Alexander, former Defensive Player of the Year for the Oklahoma Sooners. He has been giving us some gold mined nuggets on the Oklahoma defense and just on defensive philosophy in general. And because he was a linebacker, we definitely want to get his thoughts on the current linebacker unit. So first of all, Rufus, just kind of give us your overall thoughts on this linebacker core. How have they played? What stands out to you? Is there a particular player that has really risen to the occasion through the first part of 2020?
I mean, White has done pretty good. Mm-hmm. Deshaun White has played some solid football, as well as David Agwebu. He's played well also. I think Asamoah is a situational linebacker. He's right. Not somebody that's an every down guy. He struggles in pass coverage. I think he struggles in knowing where he needs to be as well. My thing is, and that goes back to philosophy as well, is the platoon kind of getting linebackers in and out, keeping guys fresh. There's nobody that's really running 100 plays anymore.
Right.
And we're running guys in and out of the game like we have to do platoon stuff now when we don't have to. A guy like David Agwebu, who goes from rushing off the edge, now being a guy that's stand-up middle interior linebacker, he needs all the reps he can get. I think he and Deshaun White should be guys that should never come off the field. Like, could you imagine an Oklahoma defense back in the day where Teddy Lehman is off the field along with Lance Mitchell in a given drive, right, and you have Smokey Hurst and Russell Dennison out there calling the plays, and you're kind of like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
Right? It just kind of a whole shuffle of players. Coach Venables had guys in there, and that was his guys, and he had his twos. There's nothing about you get your twos in if somebody said they're too tired to go, but if that guy doesn't say he's not tired, those guys stay out there. And I think you mess up a rhythm of a game. You start understanding and get comfortable with what's coming at you. I think David Agwebu is a star. He's gonna be a force to be reckoned with once he gets the grasp of playing linebacker. He didn't play it at all last year, and now he's playing it now and forcing it because Kelly gets hurt, and so you know that's kind of one of those things that, well, that happens. So now you have to make do with what you have. I still think those guys should be able to play a whole entire game. But the way it's being done now, you mean you get me that ends up on Deuce for K-State in a one-on-one. It was the other guy he gets in a one-on-one battle with Meade out there, and it's kind of like it's a mismatch. So you don't have those situations. So I think in certain situations you have your stars out there and you let your stars play. But Deshaun White and David Agwebu has been the two standout guys for me that's played well as linebackers in this defense so far. They're doing a great job. And they can get better. They're going to continue to get better, but those are your standout guys at the linebacker position.
And because of the way the Big 12 has kind of evolved offensively, and really a lot of college football in general, is there's such an emphasis placed on having quarterbacks that are dual threat players. We've seen it with Brock Purdy, Skylar Thompson, Sam Ellinger, and we're going to see it this Saturday with Max Dugan. How difficult is it for a linebacker to play against these guys that can beat you both as a thrower and as a runner?
Man, ain't no Vince Young walking out that tunnel. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm welcoming. I mean, Brent Venables, his style would have been, we're gonna take the ball out of the running back hands, and I want Max Dugan to beat me with his legs and see how long he wants to get hit in the open field.
Okay.
And that's for me. I don't think OU makes you pick your poison. As far as what you're going to do. It's all about the other team sets the tempo and we're trying to play off of it. And I think that mentality has to shift. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to tell my defensive end, you're going to run down and you're going to go here and make this tackle, and I'm going to put Deshaun White in space with Max Dugan, and I'm going to like my odds with Deshaun White in space with Dugan. If I don't want Dugan to keep the ball and I want the running back to keep the ball, I'm going to tell my defensive end, I need you to sit right there, and I need my linebacker to come downhill and play the run game. But you make them do what you want them to do, and you have the answer for it once they do it. And so that's where I get confused with Oklahoma as far as who are we, what are we trying to force teams to do, and when we slant and move like that, or can we accomplish those things? So playing against a mobile quarterback and a guy that can, that zone reads or gets out in the open space, it's all in his threat and his capabilities and what he can do. Max Duggan is not going to burn you up throwing the ball. He's not that polished of a passer, but it seems everybody we play it, we leave somebody wide open so that it seems like they're having a great game passing the ball. We don't stick to people. But for a guy like that, man, if I was a defensive coordinator playing against that, I would say, well, I want Duggan to keep the ball in his hand, and we'll go from there. If he's hurting me with some other stuff, we're gonna play coverage and have my linebacker playing one-on-one in space, especially when he's on reads.
And it seems like against Texas, Oklahoma was out there really trying to dictate what Texas was going to be able to do offensively. They were aggressive. They went straight at Sam Ehlinger and didn't allow Texas to kind of decide what they were going to do offensively. They didn't sit back and just give Texas really much of anything. They said, we're going to come at you, we're going to attack you. At least they did that for the first three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, it seemed like, okay, we're going to sit back and play coverage, not get as aggressive. How difficult is it to play with an aggressive mentality, say the first three quarters of the game, and then once you're kind of up a little bit, to kind of back off almost and allow a team to – is it difficult to go kind of into that prevent mode?
You know, that's more of a Lincoln Riley fault on that one.
Right. And I agree with that.
He doesn't get the criticism that he deserves on that one, because especially a Texas game, you do not finish Texas off. You do not take your guys off the field until Texas take their ones out and put them on the sideline, and then it's over. But until then, we are going to keep playing and keep rolling the points up there. And that's how it used to be. That's how Bob did it. I mean, 63. I mean, he scored 60s and all that in games against a team like Texas. I mean, and he didn't stop until Texas put their twos in. And then when the twos came in and we put our twos in, they were still trying to score because those were Texas kids. And you're making a statement to those kids and kids in the state of Texas that you need to come play over here or you're going to get some of this. And Lincoln Riley went into this stall mode of we're going to rely on our defense to make the stops. And he didn't stay aggressive with a young quarterback. When you're up 14, you can be a little bit more aggressive with that guy. Texas was desperate. They were blitzing. I'm watching it, and I said on Twitter, I'm like, now you take a shot. Texas is going to be blitzing. You're going to be one-on-one with a Charleston Rambo out in space. Let the young freshman step up in the pocket and throw a deep shot, at least to the sideline, and see if Rambo can run underneath something. Nope, we didn't do that. We ran the ball and threw like little small pop shots while they're playing man-to-man close coverage. Those are not going to work whenever they're playing close coverage because they're right there to make the tackle. So it was kind of odd to see Lincoln Riley. And I'd say it's odd. It's more par for the course of what Lincoln Riley has done as an off-play caller. Whenever he's had a lead, if you go back to some of the games that he's been in and he's been up, he goes into the shell mode in the second half of just trying to get done and get the game over with. And the guys and the players can sense it and they feel it. And they go into that same mode. And then you try to get them wound back up. It happened in the Georgia game whenever we come out in the second half and we didn't stay up, revved up and going like, hey, we are not going to be stopping these guys. We need to put up 40 more points. And until they take out their ones, our ones are keep on trying to get points. And defensively, you saw them just wear down. And that goes to not having a summer. They wore down. And they wore down Iowa State. They wore down K-State. They looked good for three quarters, and then it's all of a sudden like they hit a wall. And if the offense won't help you out as well in getting first downs, keeping you off the field, and now you have to play a game where – you're tired as all get out, and that's what it looked like. Oh, you were. They were fatigued that last the fourth quarter, and I, like I said, I blame Lincoln Riley on that aspect because of he took his foot off the throttle and just kind of pulled the kids back.
Well, and Rufus, one of the things that you're alluding to, and I think it plays on both sides of the ball right now, in Oklahoma's program. And what I see from both sides is a lack of a killer instinct. And that's defensively a lack of killer instinct to be able to finish off a game. Offensively, the lack of killer instinct to go for the jugular, take the deep shot, throw it on our sideline if you need to. So maybe we get the call you know, I do some things like, you know, calculated risks, but that lack of killer instinct, you know, they do a fantastic job with their social media coordinator. Annie Henson is killing the social media game, and that's important for recruiting. I get all of that. But when they're, you know, when they tweet about OU DNA, to me, when I think about OU DNA, I think about, it doesn't matter who you are and what you're ranked. Like if you came into Norman, Oklahoma, it was going to be a W for us. And it was going to be one that the program almost felt like, hey, we want you ranked higher because we're going to blow you out and it's going to look good. So there was a killer instinct that that's what I think about when I think of OU DNA. And I think that's that right there to me, that the mentality, and it starts, it goes top down, is that if the killer instinct to finish opponents off doesn't improve, well, then we're going to continue to get outscored in the fourth quarter, which is the numbers of the last few weeks. It's pretty ugly. You know, we have one touchdown offensively the last three fourth quarters, and the defense is, you know, giving up big leads perpetually. So I think that right there, just developing that mentality is going to be crucial going forward. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, and what you're saying is, you know, we go into this situation where we're dropping all our guys and rushing three guys. That's not a killer instinct. I mean, hey, bring four at least. Don't. I mean, because we don't have the guys that cover for long periods of time in the back end. Right. And I agree with you. I mean, having that killer instinct against Texas, whenever you're going to still be aggressive and come after Sam Ehlinger the same way you came after him the other three quarters, is important to do. It's important to teach young guys to have that killer instinct and the wherewithal to understand the game is not in hand. Watching that game when after they had that last one of the last stands. And they were celebrating like they freaking won the game. And I'm like, do y'all know who y'all are? Y'all have been giving up fourth quarter leads. I don't think I'm going to celebrate right now.
Yeah.
And everybody, sure enough, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was like, everybody that was watching that's a fan was still a little nervous. I don't know. We were trying to borrow their swagger, but I think everybody else was like, we've seen this story before, so let's chill.
Yeah. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let's calm down. Let's everybody settle down. And but you saw it on TV that Grinch was trying to get those guys to settle down. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the lack of the killer instinct, man, is something that they lack. To me, personally, I think some of them are posers, man. I look at it and I watch them play. I mean, playing against a Missouri State, getting a turnover against a Missouri State, we hand the ball up to the ref and run off, high-five each other and slap hands on the sideline because this is what we're supposed to do against a Missouri State, not go run into the end zone and get some photo op because – you intercepted or got a turnover against a Missouri State.
Preach.
You know what I'm saying? You know, those things like that. And there'd be guys that get like 7-8 yard hit runs and guys make a hit and they standing up posing and like flexing on the guy. I'm like, it's 8 yards. I mean, if we got negative yards got celebrated, not a hit, unless you knock a person out, you can't get up and flex on a 7 yard game. You can't get up and flex on a 9, 10, or a first down because you hit somebody hard and you feel good about yourself. I don't know. That just don't compute to me. That just never was our mentality. It was all about the negative plays, tackles for losses, things like that you celebrated on. And if you played against a less of an opponent, like we played against Middle Tennessee, I mean, we had a little bit of slapping hands and high-fiving because we got them out of here. But our goal was to be sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter. When the fourth quarter started, we wanted to be sitting down. We wanted to be up by enough points to where the twos would get in and we're chilling. And that's where you get the celebrations because you're happy with your friends that are getting out there and playing that don't get to play and they're learning and get to live out a dream of playing in college. And these guys – so I am telling you, man, when they were celebrating against Missouri State the way they were, I'm like, who in the hell is this team? Who are we? This is not right. Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And as a coach, as Lincoln Riley, as a head coach, I would have got him over there. I'm like, this is freaking Missouri State. And y'all on here acting like we over here beating beating Notre Dame or Alabama.
Yeah, there's certainly a mentality that needs to grow because they've been a team that struggled to finish games. Even when they've had leads in the second half, fourth quarter, it's been nail biters, you know, toward the end. And we've only seen them able to overcome one game in which they gave up that lead, and that was Texas. But they've definitely got to find a way to be more resilient in the fourth quarter and continue to play with that same mentality that got them the lead in the first couple quarters, first three quarters or so. Hey, Rufus, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Locked On Sooners. That was absolute fire. Make sure y'all go follow my man Rufus on Twitter at CoachRufus42. Rufus, thank you again so much for joining us.
And yeah, man, no problem, man. Hey guys, listen to Locked On Sooners, man. This is Rufus Alexander. I enjoy this podcast and enjoy these guys. I'm going to be listening to it for a while now. So
make sure y'all go subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with another special guest. That's former offensive lineman Wes Sims, and we'll be talking to you then.